In the heart of the Amazon. Oh, I should have done an Umbongo advert. You know, that way down in the middle of
the Congo.
No, you
shouldn't have done.
No?
No.
We'll skip past that. In the heart of the Amazon, a documentary crew searching for a lost tribe instead finds John Voight chewing scenery and a 40-foot snake chewing them.
Ooh.
With Eric Stoltz benched by a killer wasp. Ice Cube cracking one-liners and Jennifer Lopez trying not to regret her career choices, the group is dragged into Cerrone's mad quest to capture a giant anaconda.
I mean, this feels like a twist. This wasn't...
Do you know what I mean? Right. Who would have guessed this from the title? Because that's right, we're doing the 1997 B-movie masterpiece, Anaconda. I'm Ben Groves.
I'm Rob McFarlane.
And welcome to the Every Movie Ever podcast.
So before we get into what we're doing, let's very briefly, considering there was big news last week, get into how are you doing? How are you doing, buddy? How was surgery? Are you feeling better? Are you recovered?
Bud, thanks for asking. Well, it turns out I'm a liar because I wildly miscalculated how the time frame of us recording to me getting chopped. I'm like a day out. I am shitting my pants.
Yeah.
So there's no update this week. There might be one next week.
It's a shame because I really worked hard on that Knives Out episode to really tie it to basically the title.
Yeah.
Knives Out
was
tangentially related to you getting surgery. Great. And now it's all ruined.
Yeah.
All that work.
And I'm going to ruin it further because I've brought a movie that means fuck all to do with any of it.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
How are you doing though, bud? You scared?
Shitting it.
All right.
But also, I'm just not thinking about it.
Okay. We're just going to edge the audience.
I'm just edging. I'm edging myself, to be honest. I don't know what to expect. I don't know what's going on. Everything's weird. Everything's crazy.
So I'm looking forward to a point where I can drop my concern for you.
Thanks, man.
For a routine operation that is going to be fine.
Yeah.
But because you are medically phobic, we've had to sign up to the, this could be bad. This is like taking a child for a haircut.
No, this is like a 36-year-old man, fully grown adult man with horrendous trust issues.
Yes.
Being told something vague as fuck. And I'm like, I understand why it has to be vague as fuck, but also I'm crashing out. It's too early to crash out. I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm looking forward to next week when I get to film you under anesthetic. Shall we sum up the show?
Let's do that.
We're going to get into why this works as a B-movie.
We're going to get into animatronic versus CGI.
The cast we nearly had.
Is Anaconda a commentary on authoritarian religious beliefs?
It's going to be a short section.
That's going to be a long section.
Finally, we're going to get into, what does it really mean?
What does it really mean?
What does 1997's Anaconda really mean?
I've got like four answers for this. I'm so fucking deep in Anaconda lore right now.
Okay, that's a definitive answer. I've got four definitive answers.
Yeah. I'm definitively stating that I have multiple choice options.
Well, whilst you're having an emotional breakdown, let's have a plot breakdown. Let's break down the plot. So people who haven't seen this movie and have no intention of doing so, or maybe you're one of those people who saw it back in the day and you want a quick refresher of what happens.
First off, the first group of people don't exist. If you haven't seen it, you do want to see it. And if you have seen it, you want to rewatch it.
So, Act 1. Welcome to the jungle!
Thank you for singing that.
A fearless film crew sets out to capture footage of a legendary lost tribe. But instead, they find John Voight in Paraguay face. With his suspicious grin and accent that defies geography, Paul Cerrone slithers onto their boat.
Like what I did
their
there.
Noble documentary project hijacked into a reptilian death safari.
Dunna, death safari.
That's a film that you could probably buy on DVD on Facebook Marketplace.
I'm fucking hoping so, because I'm going to go pick up 100 later.
Yeah. Oh, and Eric Stoltz, KO'd by a wasp before the snake even shows up.
Yeah, gone.
Thanks for playing, Eric.
Thanks for playing, mate. Act 2, when nature calls, you a dick to your face. Enter the world's most disgruntled snake. 25 feet of CGI animatronic fury that hisses, strangles, and eats crew members like hors d'oeuvres.
Boat crew, not film crew.
Both crew.
Okay.
Technically, the boat crew are a film crew.
That's very true.
You see what I'm saying?
I thought you meant the making of the film. It was not like some poor DOP got mangled in the animatronics.
They've gone through them like hotcakes. You know what I mean? The credits for this are enormous.
Like Victorian mine children.
Yeah. Right, the credits for this are just sort of like, it's like a bracket, you know, for like a fighting celebrity deathmatch.
Yeah.
DP1 versus DP2, who survives?
More likely to survive as a star of the Fast and Furious.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
That was rough.
Oh, too soon?
No, it was just a little too fast.
Okay.
Around the bend.
A little bit too furious.
A little bit too furious. Okay, into fair. That tree. Meanwhile, Ice Cube drops one-liners. Jennifer Lopez wonders how her agent got her into this mess. And Cerrone grins like he's auditioning for Miss Most Punchable Villain Face of 1997, which is one of Donald Trump's lesser-known owned pageants.
He always marries the winner.
He always does. The boat trip devolves into National Geographic special hosted by Satan.
That does sound good. Act 3. This summer, nature fights dirty.
Thank you for paying attention to the voice prompt there.
You good? Blockbuster voice.
Yeah.
If anything, I was going to go for the rental shop and just go, did you rewind it? The final showdown. I feel bad now.
That's what I was scared of. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I thought there was good. I thought we were
sorry, no more late fees. We love you, really. The final showdown. One giant snake, one sweaty snake hunter, and a handful of survivors who are still inexplicably thinking about the fucking documentary that they set out to produce before the boat left.
There's three of them left.
Yeah.
Why are you talking about it? Shut up.
All of our friends are dead, but what are we doing about this B movie?
But my director career. Yeah. Shut up, J-Lo. Yeah. All right, no one cares.
People are dead, J-Lo.
No wonder Ben Affleck left.
Right. Cerrone's master plan backfires spectacularly when he becomes a human burrito for the anaconda.
Yeah.
Complete with a spitback winky face no one asked for, but everyone needs.
Hell yes, we need it.
Spitback winky face, by the way, that's not an innuendo.
No.
For something that, some sort of sex act that you, dear listener, are just not cool enough to know about.
This
John Voight literally
act.
Gets spit out of the snake.
Yeah.
Is covered in digestive fluids, looks J-Lo in the eye, gives her a wink, and then flops down dead.
Yeah, he's loving it.
Cue fire, explosions, and one crispy snake kebab. Our heroes escape downriver, forever traumatized, but, you know, alive.
Alive.
Roll credits, never go near rivers, boats, or John Voight in blackface again.
I mean, it's Paraguay face, but it's one step removed.
It's one step removed. Yeah. It's a shade of foundation away.
It is, to be fair. It is. Right, this film is an insane one. It's one that I grew up with. Me and my nephews and my niece would watch this continuously on VHS. It used to scare the absolute shit out of us. We would have, my sister used to have one of those snake draft excluders.
Yep.
You know, the bright green ones?
Yep.
And there would be like bunk beds at my sister's house. And if one of us fell asleep first, you'd get woken up with like a fucking vicious slap from a snake teddy. And it was terrifying. It was all based on this movie. It was amazing. When did you first watch it? Give me your...
This week.
This is your first time watching it ever?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah. I did not know this.
So, conflicting for me.
I'm so fucking jealous of you that you got to watch this for the first time in 2025.
I've got two answers here. Mm-hmm. I did thoroughly enjoy watching this week.
Okay.
However, you did just say this was one of your favorite films from when you were 9.
Yes.
And when I think back to when we covered Event Horizon.
Yeah.
Or The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Or The Matrix.
Yeah.
Or my favorite films from when I was 9.
Yeah.
And you spent an hour shitting on them. I feel like I need to just invert all of my notes.
I didn't shit on The Matrix. The Matrix is good.
Mm-hmm.
Did I shit on The Matrix?
Yeah.
Why?
You're like, I don't like it.
It's fine.
It's edgelord.
It's edgelord. Proper edgelord stuff. Don't get me wrong. It is edgelord stuff.
Go.
But it's not bad edgelord stuff.
The first one you were kinder to. The second ones you were like, why are we even covering
no,
this?
No, okay.
What's the point
Princess
in even
Diaries,
covering?
I did say was like American Monty Python.
Yeah.
I'm going to die on that hill.
It was everything I needed it to be, this movie. It was, and I mean this as a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great second screening film.
It fucking is.
If you want to just do a couple things on your phone
and
have Anaconda in the background, absolute fucking treat.
It's perfect.
I didn't do it on my first watch. I have done it a few times since.
Yeah. But this is the thing. This is why it works as such a fucking great B-movie, though. This is what makes it a top-tier B-movie. My favourite thing about this film, by a large measure, is how much it knows and trusts its audience.
Not at all.
No.
It repeats the same fact 9 times.
But this is the thing. It trusts us complicitly. Because the writing is super simple.
Yeah.
Straight to the point.
Yeah,
There's no massive expedition dumps. There's no huge lore buildup. There's no massive background to it all.
Right.
What's happening to the characters, and they're narrating their choices in the moment, we get the exact same information that they have.
I'm performing this action because I feel this way.
Exactly. That's just called clear communication.
Right, yeah, exactly.
It's healthy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It promotes good mental health.
If we talk about movies like a Christopher Nolan film.
Classic B-movie.
Christopher Nolan movies, there's a lot of fiber. You got to do a lot of chewing.
Yeah.
There's flavor there, but it's not instantaneous flavor.
It's soft flavor.
It's hard to digest in the first watching.
It's like a vanilla tofu pine cone.
Great nutrition there.
Yeah.
You'll be chewing it for years.
Yeah.
And you'll be finding new things.
You'll be shitting splinters for weeks.
Anaconda is an anaconda eating a hot dog.
Yeah.
It just slides in.
That's what it
you
is.
You don't need to chew.
Exactly.
It's incredibly digestible.
Exactly. It's yeah. so fucking simple, yeah. straight to the point. It knows what it is.
Yeah.
It leans into what it is
yep.
and just goes, the audience aren't here for a fucking Oscar winner. They're not no. here for this.
There is a man in medical distress.
Yeah.
We need to get back to where we started and yes. there is a large snake in the way.
Yeah. It's literally that. It is literally that. People make film. People meet Badman. Badman wants Big Snake. Big Snake eats people.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up and enjoy the film.
Yeah,
that is
yeah,
all
yeah,
you
yeah,
need
yeah.
to know about it. That's all it is. That this is exactly what the film
and
is.
And there's lovely little treats. So whilst scrolling for new items to purchase on Amazon
yeah.
or scrolling Reddit or whatever it is you want to do,
yeah.
you'll look up and there'll just be a simple shot of like J-Lo in her hotel room.
Yeah.
She's just staying in a fucking rainforest cafe for no reason. Every flat surface has got a painting of a parakeet or a tiger.
Yeah.
Or it's the tackiest, most Las Vegas rainforest cafe.
It's not a rainforest cafe, but do you remember the name of it?
I don't.
Oh, that's interesting. That might come up later in a game / quiz that I
okay.
might have or might not have.
Oh God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not gonna survive on this. I just had to scroll up to find the lead romantic lead's name.
Oh, this is gonna be so good. I think there's three things that catch my eye about this film. Or the three things that sort of like shine through as what makes this top tier B movie.
Right.
So bad it's good.
That, oh yeah,
the weird factor that it has. So the film's awful CGI mixed with like inconsistent acting, an insane plot that only works if everyone, to a degree, is in on it all to a point where it just brings a charm to the film. So you can
yeah.
see that it's a bit tongue-in-cheek. You can
yeah.
see that these people are like, it's a fucking big snake, mate. It's a big snake. Why are we here? Like, if this was real life, I'd have gone home and just go, Ice Cube. Oh, fuck this. I'm going back to LA. It's probably a good shout, mate.
Yeah.
You say
yeah.
that quite early in the film. That's probably a great shout.
I worry, though, because I worry that there are some people on the film,
mm-hmm.
say John Voight, probably J-Lo,
yeah.
and they were there going, oh, it's a paycheck.
Yeah.
I'll turn up.
Yeah.
I'll say whatever lines ever you want to say them.
Yeah.
It'll come out. It'll be a B-movie cult favourite.
Yeah.
But I also know that there were some fuckers on this set who thought they were making the 1990s Jaws.
Maybe. Maybe Jaws. I'm thinking more they're thinking Piranha, which was the original sort of mockbuster to Jaws. So Jaws comes out, then people are like, Piranhas are scary.
Yeah, no. So I hear you. Piranha,
yeah.
knowing B-movie.
Yeah.
A knowing B-movie
yeah.
would save money.
Oh, this had buckets of it.
This had buckets of money.
Yeah.
And I can really see some director sat with the studio being yeah. like, it's Jaws, but a snake in the rainforest.
Kind of.
And the studio
yeah,
going,
that's kind of it.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. That's why all the dialogue is really brief.
Yeah.
There's a sort of like, there's a quality to the dialogue that's like Spielberg, but without any of the talent. You know, when we talk about James Cameron dialogue being efficient and being like, it tells you something
sure.
about the character.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas this is very much, I'm Ice Cube, I'm the video man, I'm going to go into the water now and I'm scared by that.
Pass me camera.
Yeah. And
it's incredible.
I kind of love it more for the fact that I think some people thought they were making an A movie.
I wholeheartedly, I don't think that they went into this knowing it was a B movie.
Right.
Okay. I think they went into this with $45 million. And there's going to be clues throughout this episode that will lead more into this.
Mm-hmm.
And lead more into this. It's not a knowing B movie. It was pitched as an A movie.
Great. I love that.
Once they got going with things and realized what they had, I think the realization happened more organically in the moment where people
right.
were like, this is VHS
yeah.
cult classic gold.
Yeah.
And then that's when you, because early on the acting is sort of like very straightforward. It's
mm-hmm.
quite intense. The score is sort of like quite light and playful.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it kind of delves into this weird parallel universe where everyone is a little bit more goofy.
Yeah.
And everyone knows what's going on.
I do wonder if a lot of that is that people got onto set
mm-hmm.
and they did one scene with Eric Stoltz and went, oh, this isn't going to work.
Could be. I had almost the identical note and thought everyone gets on set with Eric Stoltz and goes, oh my God, this is brilliant. this is what we need to sell it.
Right, okay,
because
yeah.
some people do play it dead straight
mm-hmm.
and dead certain, and that's perfect because everyone else... But those people are debilitated immediately for the entirety of the film. Yeah, spend the rest of the film in bed looking at you, Eric Stoltz.
Yep.
They're in bed for the entire
film. But he's a masculine ideal because the entire film happens whilst he is asleep.
Yeah.
And then his first comment when he awakes is to criticize Jennifer Lopez's looks.
Yeah, it is.
She's done everything. He falls asleep because he gets taken down by a submarine wasp, which is something else I want to come back to.
Yeah.
He wakes up and he goes, Miss Flores, you look a mess. And I'm like, motherfucker, you've been asleep for the entire film.
Yeah, he's my absolute hero. I think another point that brings me back to this being one of the best fucking B-movies that exist, John Voight being as campy as he is.
John Voight.
It's insane to think that this is John Voight, right?
To bring it back to another film of mine that I love and you shout on for an hour, National Treasure.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
I don't think I shot on this film.
You did.
Did
you
I?
You had to buy me both of them on DVD by way of apology.
That was no apology. That was just me being nice.
When you handed them to me, you went to make up for the episodes.
I need to start a diary, man. I need to start a diary.
But what surprises me is having seen John Voight in this, you didn't immediately see him in National... Or maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
Maybe you knew the potential that John Voight had.
This is what I mean.
And because he wasn't hitting it in National Treasure, you felt like...
Oh, no, I do remember National Treasure now. I did shit on it. And you're exactly right. There was so much untapped potential in Nicolas Cage and John Voight.
Right.
And neither of them achieved the greatness that they could have.
No.
I think under the proper direction, they would have been a much better film.
Okay.
For all the wrong reasons.
So, Uwe Boll... Remakes National Treasure.
I'm fucking first in queue on that
right,
one.
Okay.
I will take irresponsible personal financial loans to help that happen.
Okay.
No, I won't, because if Uwe Boll ever heals this, he'll take that personal.
He'll take that offer.
I know,
He'll be like, You said. You promised.
There'll be some sort of like weird German law that says if you say it on a podcast, you have to do it.
Yeah, there will be. So no, John Voight is a National Treasure.
Yeah.
He's what Nicolas Cage should have been searching for in those movies.
This is what I mean.
And I understand that now I've seen this.
Yeah.
Where he's doing... What I can only describe as he's kind of seen maybe 8 or 9 minutes of Scarface and gone, Al Pacino's playing a man from South America.
Yeah.
So that's a widely regarded performance.
Yeah.
Has assumed it's for the authenticity of the performance, which it is not.
No, it is not.
And then just, you're looking for a snake, man?
You're looking for a snake?
You're looking for a snake?
Oh, there's a little catfish that goes up your urethra. You got to cut it out, man.
Mine.
You got to cut it out, man. I fucking love him. Like, campy Voight is worth watching this film for alone. Like, literally, are we fucking joking? This is incredible.
He is so far off the map.
Bro, his whole performance is insane.
Yeah.
If he was to do that today in 2025, it would be a fucking uproar. Like,
it's he and John Travolta in The Fanatic share a lot of DNA between these two movies. Just someone who's gone... I'm not going to think for a second what this is going to look like.
Yeah.
Separate from this moment.
100%. 100%. Do you know what he based his character on?
He didn't.
So
His imagination.
We've covered the film.
No.
He based his character on Inigo Montoya from The Princess Bride. And when asked if he was proud of Anaconda, this is what he says in an interview. Someone asks him, are you proud of Anaconda? And he says, I am. Well, I am proud of it because I think I was very good in it. And it was a fun story. It was a lot of fun. Just a silly thing. I had a lot of fun making it. And I still laugh when I see the performance overall. And then, when asked how it was to be eaten by the snake, he said, it was everything I thought it would be. And more. It was fun. It's a fun movie. I don't understand if he was taking the piss in this
interview. No, it's making a lot more sense because John Voight now has gone hard MAGA.
Oh, is that
hard
a lot of fun?
Right wing.
Is it a lot of fun?
No, it's dementia.
Right. Sound.
That's the answer of a man who's not entirely sure where he is or
what
film he's talking
about. Yeah, 100%
is.
I don't think he knows what film he's on about.
Yeah, exactly.
What was it like getting eaten by a snake? It was everything you think it would be, plus more.
Right.
I had fun.
Right.
It is fun.
Yeah. And so add 20 years to that.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah, okay.
An orange-faced man comes in and goes, hey, do you want money? He's like, yeah.
I think we need to sort of implement some sort of rule that if an interviewer gets these sorts of answers from an elderly actor, welfare checks.
Bruce Willis law. Call it Bruce's law.
Call it Bruce's law.
Yeah.
Just we need to instigate. If answers are getting wild and you're like, I'm not entirely certain you know what's happening.
Keep this man away from low budget film directors.
Welfare check.
Yeah.
Let's just send someone in once a week just to make sure that they're okay. And if it gets to a point where we feel like they're being exploited for, you know, for Hollywood.
As Bruce was.
Nip it in the bud.
Yeah.
Nip it in the bud. Just get rid of it.
Nip it in the Bruce.
That's what we call the law. The nip it in the Bruce. And then this is the last one for why I think this is top tier B movie. Simple's best. Anaconda is so fucking straightforward. Super simple monster formula.
Yep.
Big killer snake. Tense, terrifying monster. Picks off survivors one by one. And a subplot of a stranger on board willing to sacrifice everything for his own.
Yeah, it's Moby Dick.
Desires, exactly. It's Moby Dick.
He's Captain Ahab.
Yeah.
They're on their boat trying to do a nice anthropology documentary. Yeah. Captain Ahab gets on the boat and goes, let's go after this massive fucking snake.
Yeah, this dude hurt my wife.
Right.
He's insulted my family. I'm gonna take him down. He owes me a tenner. Let's fucking get him. Do you know what I mean?
It also follows great monster movie rules in that you get the first attack,
mm-hmm.
you don't see the monster.
You do not.
And then the second one, you see a little bit.
Yeah, just
third
the
one, you see a bit more. And then by the end, full CGI glory.
Full slung. Yeah. Second one, just the tip. Third one, bit of shaft. Final one.
All 35 feet.
Helicoptering in the corner.
Yeah. Like my mug.
There you go. This cost $45 million. It came out to like negative reviews, mixed to negative mm-hmm. reviews. Everyone was like, schlocky, it's cheap, it's shit, it's straightforward, it's boring. Boring's wrong.
Boring's the rest
of it is correct.
No. Boring in the 90s, when there was a huge amount of this about.
Okay,
you've got to remember, maybe. This is the era of the Spawn movie. This is the era of like Lake Placid. This is the era of
Matthew Broderick's Godzilla.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So the 90s charm of like, oh, isn't this endearingly shit? Like the Island of Dr. Moreau was not too far away. Yeah. So you see this, you're like, well, like, if I want that, I can watch Moreau.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I feel like this is what sets us apart here because your reaction is exactly what critics were saying.
Yeah.
They were like, fine, it's just...
There's a lot of this about at the moment.
Low effort, it seems middle of the road, it's X, Y, and Z. Whereas I'm on fully much on the fence of the audience who helped this film make $136.8 million at the box office. So fucking massive success.
But it's one of those movies that the sales pitch is the title.
Yeah, of course it is.
Anaconda. I don't need to know more.
Yeah.
I know what I'm watching.
Exactly.
It's that's like when exactly it says it. Godzilla, I know.
Yeah.
You stop selling.
Bro, there are B movies that are coming out today. Spider. Guess what that's about?
Yeah.
Spider 2. Guess what that's more of?
Right. Spider-Man.
Octopus. Guess what that is?
Cobweb.
Octopus 2. Guess what that's more of? Do you know what I mean? Like, all these things exist. They're all meant. It was the number one movie in cinemas for 2 weeks on the trot. It made $65 million on its open weekend.
Oh, mate.
It did amazing with like theatre goers. Everyone fucking loved it. I'm in that camp.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the critic camp. And I feel like they're both valid.
Yeah, totally.
They're both precise and they're both right. And this is what I love about this film. It doesn't divide.
No, it brings us together. It crushes us together like it constricts
everyone into one nice circle Venn diagram where everyone is together. Because you have no choice.
Yes.
I'm going to get into something right now. It's called Animatronics versus CGI.
Right.
Subtitle. Killer Malfunctions versus $100,000 per second. So there are two animatronic snakes, right? One was nicknamed Queen, one was nicknamed Warrior.
Right.
Queen was the largest by a long shot.
I feel like these were named by a 14-year-old, but yeah.
They were made by college kids. I will get into it.
Okay.
The largest was 40 feet long.
Right.
It weighed 5,000 pounds.
Jesus Christ.
That's 2.5 tons.
Okay.
They set this bitch on fire, submerged it in a river. They treated it like shit, right? It was fucking insane what this lived up to.
Mm-hmm.
And the smaller one was 25 foot long. I say smaller. It's still 25 feet long. And weighed 1,500 pounds. Ridiculous. They were powered by hydraulics, controlled by a team of engineers.
Right, yeah.
And puppeteers. And it was directed by the director who would make movements with his hands so that the puppeteers could mimic it.
Oh my God.
I've seen the behind the scenes footage, right? And it's like watching synchronized swimming. I thought it was going to be a shit show. It is incredible to watch this thing go.
Really?
The director stands in front of the puppet.
Right.
Does this thing with his arm. And legitimately, this entire team of people, each with their own fucking bit of the snake that they're controlling, mimic it almost perfectly.
Oh my God.
It is incredible. If you can get on YouTube and watch the behind the scenes footage of how the animatronics worked, it's fucking insane.
Yeah.
I did it for a laugh because I was like, this is going to be a shit show. Yeah. I was floored. I was like, fucking, this insanely talented team of people just like, yeah, so what I wanted to do, mate, is head here going, ooh, everyone goes, ooh.
Impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like we are viewing this through a slightly skewed lens because we're going, oh, it's 1997, you know, early days.
I was 9 years old.
We were nine, do you know what I mean? It's that thing of like, okay.
I think you might have been 10.
No, I would. It depends if it came out in the first half or the second half of the year.
Second half.
Then I'd have been 10.
There you go.
So I was 10.
You old
bastard.
You were 9.
And we can look back now and go, it was 1997, these animatronics are incredible. It was still 3 years after Jurassic Park. Let's not forget that.
Hey, listen, right? It's expensive.
Yeah.
It's expensive. The CGI back then in 1997, $100,000 per second it cost them to put the snake on the screen.
24 frames.
Yeah.
24 pictures of a snake.
$100,000. So I need you...
It's like NFTs all over again.
This is what I mean, yeah. So anyway, one snake, guess which one? Lost control and destroyed an entire set, nearly killing J-Lo.
I'm going to say Queen.
Correct.
Yeah.
But no one was injured, which good. Is good. Which
we
is
didn't
good,
have so a Terminator have situation. No, we didn't have a Fast and the Furious situation.
It was all good. It was just that it was a near miss. I've got something from Ice Cube here who recounts the story.
Oh, God.
It's okay. This took me about 25 minutes to transcribe from the video. Okay.
So Ice Cube doesn't chat in sentences. He chats in clouds.
He does. And the clouds are caught in a breeze and they sort of swirl around each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same shit over and over and over
again. You kind of get what he means by taking an average of the word he says.
You can get where he's going with a sentence by the first three words, yeah.
Yeah, he's not a writer, let's put it that way.
He speaks in rap. Yeah. It's a good job that he fell into that career, you know what I mean?
He speaks in rap if your CD was very scratched.
So Ice Cube says, I'm not going to do the accent.
Do the accent.
No.
Okay, what if he's not black? What if he's Chinese?
That's better.
Okay, do Chinese Ice Cube.
No. No.
Okay.
I'm not going to do it. It's fine. French. I'm not going to lie. I practiced it on the way here. I'm not doing it though.
Okay.
Because it was terrible. And okay. I pulled up and was like, is this racist?
What about just Patreon?
No. Look,
I'll put a marker.
No. Because then that's putting a paywall. But I'm putting...
You're then profiting from racism.
This is what I mean. Yeah. I'm no better than... I was going to say our forefathers, but you're the only
Joe
one
Rogan.
Who came for money. You know what I mean? There's only one string to pull there. Ice Cube says... I'm in the middle of the Amazon doing a goddamn movie and there's bullshit water and we was actually really scared of the mechanical snake that these fucking college kids built and that motherfucker went haywire one time, almost fucked up Jennifer Lopez, it malfunctioned and that shit just started to tear up the set. That was one sentence.
Nice.
There
okay.
was zero grammar.
Again, do you see what I mean? You
missed.
Take the average.
Yeah.
You take the average, there's a sentence there.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
And it's way shorter.
Yeah.
I'm going to carry on with the rest of this fucking paragraph. Bear me one sec. He swung and almost hit her in the face and shit, they had to grab her out of there. After that, everybody looking at this fucking snake like, goddamn, we scared of this motherfucking thing for real because it was like this metal skeleton that was wrapped in this attire. So this shit was going to hit you and fuck your face up. And we and we acting with this shit. We was like, man, this motherfucking gonna malfunction and pop an N-word right in the mouth. So we scared of this thing for real. That's the entire quote. I don't know if it makes sense. I blacked out in the middle. Don't know what's happening.
I love the fact that there was a long pause in there.
That is
where I could see you were. I could just see you staring at the N-word.
Okay.
And your brain just went.
Interesting.
And then you continued with the sentence.
Interesting. That's not the case. I was mimicking the pause.
Oh, wow.
In the speech. And then he restarts a sentence and finishes it in a completely different way than I thought it was going to go.
What a hero.
Amazing. Well, that's
N-Cube. Of our times.
N-Cube? You say an N-word. That's Ice Cube saying what happened when the snake went mental and destroyed a set and nearly hit Jennifer Lopez.
It's a miracle. That I wasn't there to see it because he paints such a vivid picture.
I know.
Such a descriptive picture. So many adjectives.
Wordsmith. Wordsmith.
Unfortunately, he is.
Yeah. Do you want to hear the cast that we almost had? I'm railroading this episode, by the way.
Yeah, no, by all means, go for it. This is your vibe.
Alternate options for this cast. Are you ready for this? Paul Cerone. So before John Voight,
mm-hmm.
Jack Nicholson, Martin Sheen, Kirk Douglas, John Malkovich, Liam Neeson, and Harrison Ford were all considered for the part.
All of them would have been perfect.
All of them would have been. Do you know who would have been more perfect? Sean Connery and Tommy Lee Jones, who actively declined outright, like immediately were like, nope.
Yeah, good. Nope.
Sean Connery in this role.
Sean Connery probably...
In Paraguay it, face.
Probably turned it down because he didn't understand it, which is exactly what he did with the role of Gandalf in Lord of the Rings.
Amazing.
He just went, I don't understand it, yeah, and turned it down.
Good.
And they were like, would you like a cut of the profits? And he went, nope.
That's fucking insane. That is insane. Terry Flores, before J-Lo,
mm-hmm,
Jennifer Aniston, Kate Beckinsale, Nicole Kidman, Juliette Binoche, Sandra Bullock, and Kim Basinger.
All of them would have been worse.
All of them would have been worse.
All of them would have been
exactly
worse.
Exactly.
It's the exact opposite situation.
Yeah. Do you know who would have been even worse for the role? Gillian Anderson, who declined this role outright.
Oh.
Absolutely not. No. But in all fairness, I want Gillian Anderson version of Anaconda.
I only want Gillian Anderson version of Anaconda because Gillian Anderson is objectively wonderful to look at on
exactly
screen.
Exactly. And that's, she's a fucking phenomenal actor. Like, yes, insanely good.
Outside of that, she wouldn't have done the film any favours.
I mean, you say this, but Denise Kahlberg, before Carrie Wura? I can't pronounce the last name.
Nope, it's fine. Neither sick can I. So
amazing. Well, there you go. I gave it a shot. Let me know if I'm wrong. Email me a soundbite of you saying that name and I'll put it in the next episode. There you go. Enjoy.
We don't get emails.
We get some. I read them. I go back to some of them. But a lot of them are like, hey, do you need marketing? It's like, name three episodes. Anyway, so before Carrie, I'm just going with Carrie. Before Carrie, we had Cameron Diaz, Gwyneth Paltrow, Isabella Scorupco. You know who she is.
Yeah.
I know who she is. You okay will by face.
Okay.
Because I did by face.
It's not like no by mouth, but will by face.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
And Gillian Anderson auditioned for this role. Turned down J-Lo's role and was like, absolutely not.
Right, okay.
Support character.
I'm wondering whether or not Gillian Anderson was just auditioning for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Auditioned for the support character.
Yeah,
she
probably
got the script when she auditioned for the support character.
Fair.
Saw the script, went, nah, I'm all right. They went, do you want the lead? She was like, nah.
Okay.
Don't even want to be in the background.
This is where it gets interesting. And this is where I want to see some recasts in a film. Danny Rich, before Ice Cube.
Mm.
Do you want to know who was considered for Danny Rich? Bill Murray, Will Smith, and Ving Rhames.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they were thinking Bill Murray would just be blackface, or...
Why not? Join Voight.
Right.
Join John Voight. Everyone gets a face.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's a wild mix.
Yeah.
Bill Murray, I think, could do it.
Yeah, Bill Murray would smash it.
Crotchety old man.
Yeah, he wasn't as old man in this point.
He
was like middle-aged.
He's always been old man.
This is his wife-beater era.
He's always been in a wife-beater era.
Yeah, he's never really stopped.
It's not a thing you go through a phase of.
Yeah.
You either do it or you don't.
Oh, sorry about that. I had a slight case of the wife-beatings.
Right.
Yeah, fair. All right, fair. Dr. Stephen Quayle. This is the last one, and this is probably my favourite one.
He's the presenter played by the British man from Jumanji.
This is Eric Stoltz.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Eric Stoltz character.
I forget about Eric Stoltz because he's Eric Stoltz.
And he's asleep for the entire
film. He's asleep for the entire film, and when he is on screen, he leaves no impression besides me viscerally in every frame I could pause it and go, he's in the wrong film.
Yeah, yeah. It's the best part. And considered for this role, we had Billy Crystal, Michael J. Fox.
What?
Ben Stiller, Ray Romano, and Dennis Quaid.
Right, so...
Yeah.
I may have misinterpreted this here, and you. This has been a long-term favourite of yours.
Okay.
The character that Eric Stoltz is playing, for me, was set up as the heroic lead and love interest.
Fuck off. Sorry.
Hot radiator?
No, I got a tiny electric shock.
Ooh, sorry, babe.
Sorry.
The character that Eric Stoltz is playing is set up as the heroic protagonist and romantic lead. And then when he's then killed by a submarine wasp for most of the movie till he gets better, it's supposed to be like a slight twist to the formula, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we thought it was going to be the guy, it's actually the lady, but they're supposed to carry the kind of sex symbol. I thought you were going to say George Clooney.
Yeah.
Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
You know? Somebody...
Fuck off with Burt Reynolds. Could you imagine Burt Reynolds in this film?
Right, exactly.
I'd come.
Right. A Burt Reynolds type who you're like, he's going to be capable as fuck in the jungle.
Yeah.
He's sexy as fuck.
Dude, has everyone seen Gator?
Right. And then when he gets bitten by the submarine wasp, everyone goes, oh no, what's happening? And then J-Lo becomes the lead. Every single person you listed is on the other end of the scale. Burt Reynolds, Billy Crystal.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair. That's a fair observation.
It's just, I feel like we need somebody in this role, you know, like a Burt Reynolds or a Billy Crystal.
Right? Let's not
Billy
do
Crystal
Billy Crystal
and Gator.
He's, all right, yeah, all right. Put it that way. He's, yeah, fuck it.
Burt Reynolds and Analyze This.
Yeah.
I mean, that would actually work.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of sick.
That's because Burt Reynolds works anywhere.
Burt Reynolds is Burt Reynolds.
He's the WD-40 of actors.
Burt Reynolds is the grey gaffer tape that just fixes everything. Yeah. Shittest film in the world, Burt Reynolds.
Flex Seal.
Bang!
It's a great film now.
Bang! Burt Reynolds. Bang! No, listen, we've been having fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a light-hearted movie. It's goofy, it's straightforward, it's B-movie, it's a fucking snake.
There's nothing
it's
to snake this, Ben.
I feel like we're missing something here, bud.
Yeah, okay.
I feel like we're missing the deeper
meaning.
Is this
the bit where you ask, is it something about like capitalism versus communism? Or what was it you were saying?
Is it a commentary on authoritarian religious beliefs?
Oh, okay. No, and okay. I can answer this.
Yeah.
No.
Have you read the Old Testament? Just want to...
I've read the Old Testament.
Okay, so you'll be able to follow me where we are.
Right.
You ready for this?
Are you going Genesis?
Huh?
You're going to Genesis, aren't you?
We'll see.
Bit of the Old Testament that anyone has read.
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. Yeah, it's all Genesis.
If that doesn't shock the monkey.
So I found... Did you just say that didn't shoot the monkey? Because John Voight shoots a monkey in this film?
No.
Did you say shock the monkey?
Yeah.
What does that have to do with Anaconda?
Shock the Monkey is a song by Peter Gabriel.
Right.
Peter Gabriel was in a band called...
Genesis.
There you go.
I like it.
There you see?
Yeah, it's full circle.
Yeah.
Snake
like
eating
a
its own
snake
tail.
Snake eating its own tail.
Yeah, I like this. All right, we're in it. We're in it. So listen, I found a symbolic reading online of Anaconda. Now this suggests that the film can be interpreted as an allegory of Old Testament theology and the struggle between God and the devil. Within this framework... I've gone academic with
I'm
this.
I've
written this like it should be a peer review paper. Mm-hmm. Right, ready? Within this framework, the serpent functions as a representation of the devil, a destructive and fear-inducing presence.
Yes.
We can agree on this.
Yes.
Yet the true antagonist is Paul Sarone.
Yes.
Who embodies a distorted image of God as an authoritarian, punitive, and manipulative figure. A sort of, you know, fire and brimstone type God. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Old Testament, one might say.
Old Testament, some might.
Yeah.
Peruse? Fuck you. Listen. Sarone's authority rests on his ability to invoke the terror of the snake, paralleling how a wrathful deity utilizes fear of evil to enforce obedience and subjugation. You on board so far? You with me?
I'm on board. I'm just curious because I know you're not the sort of man to write the word subjugation, so I'm curious where this has come from.
I wrote it as Ben would write it.
Yeah.
And then was like, okay, academic dictionary.
Send this to a script writer.
Academic dictionary. Let's get this on the go.
Okay.
And I've beefed it up.
Okay.
For you.
Thanks, babe.
It took far longer than it should have.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I'm going to continue gritting my teeth like I'm listening to a man at a bus stop talking about how trees are aerials.
This is essentially what I was aiming for. It's almost exactly what I was going for. So the cruise expedition into the Amazon can then be interpreted as a metaphor for humanity's search for truth and spiritual fulfillment. Their resistance against both Sarone and the Anaconda reflects a rejection of the dualist moral structure imposed by institutional religion.
Mm.
You on board so far?
I am, yeah.
I'm loving this because there's like two sentences left, but there's some big words.
Okay.
So this is where I'm going to struggle.
Take a run up.
Yeah.
You got this.
I've got a twitch in my eye. Can you see that?
Yeah, I can.
Oh.
They can't, so carry on.
Sorry, this is audio, but this is, mate, that's throwing me for six. That was my reading guy. By overcoming the God figure and the devil alike, the survivors break free of the rigid... I've lost where I am.
Sound it out.
No, it's not. I've lost where I am. What's it? The survivors break free from the strict confines of good and evil. The film thus gestures towards a more humanistic vision in which meaning is found through individual agency, mutual cooperation, and the pursuit of knowledge outside of the constraints of authoritarian belief systems.
Right, so what you're saying is...
that 1997 Anaconda...
Well, no, you're setting up a dichotomy here.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Perone,
mm-hmm.
Old Testament God,
yeah.
Vengeful, manipulative.
Yeah.
On the other side, you have Muzconda,
yeah.
and she is being used as a scapegoat.
Yeah.
Being deliberately attacked.
Yeah.
So that vengeful God can get what he needs.
It's like you've watched the same film that I've watched, yeah?
It's, yeah. It's
welcome to religion, Rob.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? This is 101.
You were chatting with the priest the other day, so, you know, this is what...
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben's
fucking great guy.
Ben's worry of his operation has got him seeking spiritual guidance from priests.
No, I don't know what it was. We've just been chatting for it. We get into like really deep talks. It's mint.
It's nice.
Lovely guy.
Yeah. I mean,
lovely guy.
Christians tend to be.
Yeah. Lovely guy.
Kind of in the book.
Well, which one though? You know what I mean? Because if we're going Old Testament, I got a movie.
So are
that
you
we
saying that that's what this film really means?
No.
That it's, okay, good.
No, I did
good.
This purely for you because I thought it would be fun
you.
To watch you unravel to me trying
I mean, look,
to pull
look,
this.
Look, let me put it this way. You're not wrong. In the same way that if you take any 3 points
mm-hmm.
on the map,
sure,
you can draw a circle
yeah.
Somewhere on the map. And those 3 points will always end up along the perimeter of that circle.
Okay.
So I don't think the film intended to do it.
No.
But I think you can. It's a circle you can definitely apply to the 3 points of the film.
It's also like a weird, fun way to look at this absolute nonsense movie.
Oh, 100%.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, wonderful.
So I found this dude online who had like gone into this really deep,
oh, wow.
analytical,
okay.
like deciphering of the movie Anaconda. And it's a fucking mint read if you like trying to sort of piece... weird shit to other weird shit meant
nice.
Super fun.
Yeah.
So I tried to sum it up. Had like a weird dictionary. This is why it took me so long to write this episode. The rest of it was a piece of piss and all fell into place. Yeah. This
was the jewel in the crown.
Nightmare. Nightmare. I don't know half the words I just read. Nightmare.
So what does it really mean? If it's not the battle between Old Testament God and an invented evil, what would you say? Because for me...
You hit me with what it really
well,
means
yeah.
for you.
Okay, because I'm the newcomer. And for me, this is just a gentle, lovely, fun ride
mm-hmm.
of... It's like paper theatre.
Okay.
None of the characters have much depth.
Okay.
They're little 2D characters, but sometimes smashing action figures together.
Super fun.
Super fun.
Yeah.
And to just put this on and go, there are some wild choices being made.
Yeah.
There's some super clunky CGI that I feel nostalgia for because of the era that I grew up and started watching films with.
Mm-hmm.
There's some not half bad animatronics, but it's just a fun movie. I didn't get any more from it beyond man's greed is his downfall and just be nice to nature, yo.
There you go. That's a good takeaway. I looked at it with a little more of a personal edge.
Ooh.
So I got the...
It might be the last film you ever see, so...
You know what I mean? It had to be a good one.
Yeah.
I think this film is about dedication and dedication to a fault.
Ooh, okay.
So I think this is like every character in this film is following their dedication to a fault in one way or another. You've got the film crew who head out into like dangerous, unfamiliar territory, chasing that big break, you know, the big documentary. This is my directorial debut.
We're going to find this lost tribe.
It's going to be great. This is going to put our names on the map. They take chances on people who just happen to be there without any fucking self-preservation whatsoever. Because it's the nice thing to do, and because they're dedicated to their goal, they're like, well, we can afford to be nice on the way.
Yeah,
doesn't harm to smile at people every now and then. Letting a Paraguay face John Voight onto your fucking boat, though. That's do you know what I mean? There's something. Paul Cerrone, he sets up an elaborate plan to hijack the fucking film crew's boat. He's even got an insider within the crew that he's working with, and all of these weird Scooby-Doo ass booby traps that he set up off camera is insane.
Yeah,
he's so dedicated to getting this anaconda. And I think we've been there.
Yeah.
Where we relentlessly chase a goal and we don't care who it hurts.
Oh, haven't we just?
We don't care if it affects us or our loved ones or our social circles.
We're getting our snake.
We're getting the anaconda.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. That's the be all end all. And it's the hyper fixation on a mythical goal that is going to solve all the problems.
Captain Ahab in the rainforest.
It's Moby Dick.
Yeah.
This entire thing just shines a light on how it's nice to kind of maybe sit with your thought for a second before running with it.
Yeah. If you, maybe. Dear listener, are there and you're going to do a thing and you're having to give up stuff.
Yes.
Question. Why?
Where's the thought come from?
Yeah.
Is it going to benefit you in the short term? Is this a lustful, I'm going to do this now and it's going to pay off later? Or is this a long-term plan where you think if I miss out on a certain thing, will it benefit me in the long run, but be healthier for doing so?
Yeah.
Which is, I feel like something that I'm constantly battling with, and I'm getting to a point where I'm so focused on that, where that's my dedication,
yeah,
that it's becoming a crippling addiction.
Yeah.
And now every thought that enters my head, I'm like, where did you come from?
Why? You deny yourself every pleasure.
Almost
every pleasure.
My way up at the moment is, am I wanting to do this because it's a short-term payoff, but in the long term, just going to be something that has distracted me for a couple weeks?
Right.
Or am I doing this thing because in the long term, it's a healthy decision that will push me forward in a way that will keep me comfortable, secure,
with the slight caveat that you watch 16 films a week.
At least.
Right.
Yeah.
So...
But they're all long-term investments. You know what I mean? That's all for healthy long-term stuff, that is, man.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I do need to reassess. But I reassess on like a daily basis at the moment. Yeah. It's getting to a point where...
Good.
I will find a balance at some point, but...
Yeah.
At the moment in time, I've just
got no time. I'm like...
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Just dive at it. Fuck it. Yeah. It's a few years getting here. Everything's aggressively middle of the road and has been for a while,
mm-hmm.
which is quite nice.
Yeah.
But also...
It's better than it was, though, dude. I remember...
a thousand times better than it was.
I was chatting with someone the other day and I was reminded of a story that I had totally forgotten. Because a lot of my memory is bad. My memory is bad anyway. I forget stuff all the time. But I especially am realising that huge parts of my life in London are just gone. Mm-hmm. Like, people tell me stuff about stuff that happened and I'm like, no. I did remember... The other day, and this is a great story,
mm-hmm.
going out, there's a pub in Ealing, and we've been drinking for some time, and I started to feel a bit unwell.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, I've got to do something about this.
Right.
So I just said, oh, guys, I'll be right back. And I popped out to the front of the pub, whipped around the corner,
mm-hmm.
and just, I couldn't hold it for very long, just threw up on the pavement, right? Just threw up on the wall.
Delicious. Pavement. Thank you.
And then came back in.
Mm-hmm.
Acted like nothing happened.
Right.
And everyone at the table was like, fucking hell, you're right. I was like, yeah, why? And they pointed. And what I'd done is, thinking it was a wall.
Right.
Because my eyes were closed because I was vomiting.
Right.
Put both hands on the window. So I'd gone casually out.
Yeah.
Put both hands on the window.
Yeah.
Painted the window.
Amazing.
With full face contact to the window. Vomited on the window. Turned around, not seeing that it was a window, dusted myself off, gone back in the pub and tried to act nonchalant.
Okay.
And the entire pub was looking at me with horror in their faces.
Yeah.
Like I'd just done some sort of bizarre performance art piece.
Yeah. Oh my God. What are we talking about? What is this?
Anaconda.
Oh, yeah.
What it really means.
That is what it really means, apparently.
Right.
Dedication. There
Dedication.
You go. Dedication to a fault. We've all been there.
Yeah.
You might be there right now. Watch Anaconda. There's the consequences. I guess monitor it. It's what it really means.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you want to play a game?
I'd love to play a game.
Sick. It's a quiz all about Anaconda the movie.
Okay. Fantastic. Not the song.
Not the song.
My Anaconda don't. Anaconda don't.
Are you ready for this?
Yep.
Where was Jennifer's character, Terry, from? South Carolina, New York, California, or Florida?
Ooh, I'm going to say New York.
Okay.
Because she's Jenny from the block.
She is Jenny from the block.
There we go.
I don't know why I called her Jennifer. What was the name of the hotel the crew stayed at the beginning?
It's not the Rainforest Cafe.
It's
we know
not
this.
The Rainforest Cafe. I've got, there's four answers. I'm going to give you two options.
Okay.
One's, it's a 50-50.
Okay.
The Netanyahu Jungle Hotel or the Ariao Jungle Hotel?
Okay. The Netanyahu Hotel.
What was Cerrone's first name?
Paul.
The first person on the crew to die, who was it?
It's the driver.
First name only. The driver.
The Hernandez.
Mateo.
What's his... He had a Hernandez vibe.
He kind of does. I see that.
You know,
you said Hernandez, and I was like, "That's not far off,
right?"
Yeah, okay.
Mateo. Yeah.
What would Cerrone call Denise? Baby butterfly, little butterfly, baby bird, little bird.
Baby bird.
Baby bird. It is. Do the accent.
Baby bird.
Baby bird. You are right. Of all
You're
the people,
you're not safer, baby bird.
You can't do the Spanish th. That's too much. That's too much. Of
Let
all
me
the
tell
people,
you about snakes.
I ate a snake in Ibiza. Of all the people who died in the movie, who was not killed by the snake?
Oh, the...
First name only.
She's the fit sound engineer, and she tries to bonk Owen Wilson, and she's called Denise.
Bonk?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm keeping it family friendly.
I got you. Why? Oh, the film tried to do this. The film was going to get an R rating.
Right.
Because there was far too much swearing.
Yeah.
So if you watch the movie carefully, a lot of Ice Cube's dialogue doesn't match up to what his mouth's doing.
Because they had to dub.
Freaking. Freaking is used all the time.
Nice.
Whenever you hear freaking, yep, they're saying fucking.
Nice.
But they had to ADR it afterwards.
Good man.
Hilarious.
Good man.
Dr. Cale died. True or false?
Dr. Cahill did not die.
Did not die.
Because he wakes up and goes, Miss Flores,
okay,
you look like shit.
Yeah. What other movie has Jennifer Lopez and John Voight appeared in together?
Oh, it's not The Cell.
Two words.
I don't really know J-Lo's filmography that well.
I will give you a clue. It's a maneuver that you can do in your car,
mm-hmm,
when you're heading one way, but you want to go another way.
U-turn.
There you go.
There we go.
There we go. Right. What was the name of the tribe Terry and her crew were looking for? Was it the Tikitana Indians?
Nope.
The Petiwana Indians?
Nope.
The Shiri Lama Indians? Or the Shiri Sharma Indians?
The Shiri Sharma Indians.
Good boy.
I remember thinking, because I was like, that sounds like a menu item.
There you go. Kind of does.
Hello, mate.
Yeah.
Can I get a Shiri Sharma and five of them big crisps?
All right, mate. Listen, I want two Lambunas and a Shiri Sharma.
Yeah.
I want it to go.
Yeah. And a calico.
Oh, mate, my stomach rumbled then. That actually made me hungry.
Should get curry in a minute.
Yeah,
can we actually?
Yeah, fuck yes. In what country did the movie take place? Venezuela, Peru, Brazil, or Argentina?
I'm going to say Peru.
Interesting.
Oh, Venezuela. I can't remember. It's not really... I think it's like in the title card, and then they kind of move on.
We'll just submit these.
Yeah.
We'll see where we're up to. Just give it a second.
There's another 40 questions.
Apparently the fucking computing on the quiz
is like,
it's breaking service.
It's more than the SATs, you know what I mean, mate.
Where's the answer? Okay, no. So the first answer was wrong. She's from South Carolina.
Oh.
I know. It wasn't the Natanu Jungle Hotel. It was the Ariao Jungle Hotel. But you did get Cerrone's first name right. That was Paul.
Boo!
That's good.
Because you said it like 9 times in the episode.
Nah, don't worry about that. The first person in the crew to die was Mateo.
Woo!
Hernandez for short. What would Cerrone call Denise? Baby bird. Right answer.
Baby bird.
Baby bird. You need to cut it out, man. Of all the people who died in the movie, who was not killed by the snake? Denise?
Denise, yeah.
Yeah?
Because Paul Cerrone does a scissor lock.
You did it?
He bond girls her.
That's it. Dr. Cale did not die.
No. Is it Dr. Cahill?
No, Dr. Cale.
Dr. Cale.
C-A-L-E.
Okay.
Why, what am I saying?
No. Throughout the entire film,
right,
I was like, do they like Dr. Cabbage? Like Dr. Cale? Like,
right,
like he's called Dr. Cale. And then I was like, no, it's got to be Dr. Cahill. Right. So in my head, like, I was like, no, they're just saying Cahill wrong.
A PhD would never be awarded to someone called Dr. Vegetable.
Right. Exactly. Dr. Sprout. It felt a bit Cluedo.
Jeffrey, get me my salad.
Right. Calling Dr. Cale for this wonderful smoothie. Amazing. I'm making.
Amazing. What other movie had Jennifer Lopez and John Voight appeared in together? U-turn.
U-turn.
Correct.
You gave me
there
that
we
one,
go.
Yeah.
I did not give it yet. I give you a hint.
Okay.
I give you a very, very secluded hint.
Yeah, huh?
Question 9. What was the name of the tribe? Shiri Sharma Indians.
The Shiri Sharma Indians, man.
And the country that it took place in was actually Brazil.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It's all right. It's all good,
for
man.
For fuck's sake. Why am I like this?
You got 7 out
Why
of 10.
Why do I always do this to me fucking self?
Bro, you got 7 out of 10. That's right. A 75% rate if we round up 5%.
Yeah.
I'm in for it.
Yeah.
Well done, bud.
Yeah.
That's fucking banging.
I'm going to say we don't have time for Comment Corner.
I'm also going to say that because we've waffled shit for far too long. And also you've mentioned we're going to get Indian food, so...
I kind of want Indian food
now,
yeah.
Up,
I don't think it's open for another 3 hours, but that's fine.
We can wait.
We can wait.
On the door.
Can you just hurry the chicken cooking, please?
Yeah,
I like
put
it
a chicken
medium
on now.
Raw.
Yeah.
Can I get the korma sashimi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mate, I'm in. 1,000%.
Love it. Well, that's it.
So no, it isn't.
Is it not?
What are you rating it? We haven't rated a film in about 4 weeks.
No,
that,
we
right?
have. We have.
You sure?
Yeah, we do. We just do it briefly.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you don't remember because everything you rate is a fat 10.
Well, I'm going to break habit today. No, I haven't done a fat 10 in a while.
You did 8.5 last week.
What did I do the week before?
Fat 10.
I don't think that was. What was the one? What film did we do the week before last?
Toxic Avenger.
Yeah, it was a fat 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair. What are you rating Anaconda?
It's a 7.5.
Like your score on the quiz?
Yeah.
75%.
If we round up 5%.
If we round up 5%.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, 7 out of 10. It's incredibly engaging. I would recommend sticking it on with a group of mates,
mm-hmm.
or sticking it on in the background where you've got some stuff to do. You're going to have a wonderful time. As a first watch, it's a very good B movie. It ticks all the boxes.
Top tier B movie.
Top tier B movie, but you know,
it's B movie. It's exactly you get exactly what it says on the tin. Yeah. Anaconda. That's it.
It's that.
Yeah.
It's you get. It sets low expectations. It
lives up to them.
It lives up to those low expectations. So I'm not going to give it a fat 10 because I didn't walk away from it going, oh my fucking God, what a film.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to give Hedwig a 10, if I'm going to give Inception a 10, if I'm going to give Interstellar a 10,
right.
If I'm going to give Old Boy a 10,
right.
Anaconda has to be a 7. It just does.
Yeah.
The difference between those movies and this is about 3.
Yeah. I think the analogy that I got from that is, if I'm going to love fancy cars, if I'm going to love big houses, if I'm going to aim for living life comfortably, then I love Angel Delight. Angel Delight has to be a 7.
Exactly.
We're rating two wildly different things. You know what I mean? It's entirely separate.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
But I get exactly what you're saying. Right. And for the same reasons.
This is a mid-price family car. You're going to have a wonderful time with it.
Exactly. It's a reliable Toyota.
Exactly.
It gets you where you need to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a mint film. It's fun as fuck. I've got loads of memories of watching this with my nephew and my niece and my other nephew. I don't know why I said it like that. It was weird.
Could have just used the plural, but no, fine.
Let's not dwell on it. You know what I mean? I'm going to go an 8.
Go eat a curry.
I'm going to go for an 8.
You're going to go for an 8?
I'm going to go for an 8.
Celebrate an 8.
Celebrate an 8. I think it's mint. It's exactly what it says on the tin. And it breaks down Genesis in a way that's palatable for everyone. You know what I mean? If you're really looking to get into the Old Testament, Anaconda's where you start.
It is a must-watch for theology students.
100%.
Coffee's really run out, isn't it?
I crashed a moment ago.
I've
crashed a moment ago.
That's it. The end of the show. We love you all dearly. I know.
My eye twitch set me off.
Thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for the support. If you could tell a friend, we would love you forever.
Tell your fucking mates. Literally. I might be dead.
We played
this last week.
Yeah,
we
played this
last week.
And then your operation got moved. This might happen again.
They might leave something in me. Yeah. I might have a bit of robot arm left in me. I don't know what's... No, I can't play on this
too much.
Great
B-movie plot.
Right? And then I become a robot arm. It grows out like an actual limb. Fuck, we need to write this. Over Indian food.
Dr. Monopus.
We love you so fucking much. Thank you for hanging out with us.
Yeah.
Apologies for trying to cash in on me nearly dying again.
Yeah. Ben is now going to wrap up the thoughts, themes, and feelings
of Anaconda. I've pre-written this one. I'm not pulling it out of my ass.
Into a little Monday motivational pep talk while I just tell you to consume.
Anaconda reminds us that end goals aren't the be-all, end-all. Sometimes it's about the cunty poachers that we meet along the way. Or... in a world full of hyper-focused workaholics, choose to be the Owen Wilson and just try and play with some tits in a jungle. That's all I had.
Nice. I like it.
Yeah, thanks.
That's the first time in a long while I've managed to get all the way there.
Yeah, I hated it. I know. I'm not going to pre-write them anymore. I'm just going to pull it out of my ass.
No, I quite liked it. Because the original intent 3-4 years ago was that I would fade away.
Yeah.
Whilst you...
I know, but then breaking it has become sort of like a tradition.
It's become the thing, yeah.
Yeah, I like it.